the rest of the story. It was more like a luxurious resort hotel than ordinary apartments. But that shows you how much times have changed. How might the people who lived there have been more comfortable? Although some of them made frequent shopping trips downtown, such excursions were not necessary. Practically anything anybody might need was right there in the building. There were various shops, including more than one drugstore. There was a hairdresser. There were physicians on staff. There was even a library in the building as well. Many of the richest, most famous figures of the day lived there. Upon checking in, celebrities were invariably invited to dine with the governor, who lived there also in an opulent suite of rooms. Residents often employed their own servants and chefs. But why, I wonder? The kitchens in the building were internationally renowned for their excellent cuisine. One had but to plan one's preferred menu, and it would be exquisitely prepared. Along with daily room service came 3 bottles of fine wine, compliments of the house. The rooms themselves were large, comfortable, ideal for entertaining, of which there was much. The apartments were originally unfurnished, leaving the responsibility of interior design to each resident. Eventually, furnished rooms were optional. The building's grounds were breathtaking. There were terraces and gardens and stables, hardly the sort of thing one might expect of a jail. And yet that is what it was. A state-owned and operated institution for the incarceration of naughty noblemen. Dissidents, usually, critics of the crown. Naturally, guests accustomed to pampering demanded the same in detention. So, they were pampered. They were given a multitude of conveniences, the finest food, even ironically considerable freedom. Some of the so-called prisoners were required only to spend their nights in the jail. Visitors also came and went as they wished, and large dinner parties were not uncommon. The most remarkable thing about this plush, posh penal institution was that the state could afford to run it at all. Ultimately, of course, what with liquor on the house and every imaginable service offered free of charge, the state could not afford it, and so the government planned to close it down and demolish it. In fact, a contractor had already put in a bid to dismantle the structure. But before he could do that, somebody else took a shot at it. The people of Paris. All they wanted were the arms and ammunition stored there. They were not trying to get anybody out. For when that mob advanced on that prison, July 14, 1789, only 7 pampered prisoners remained in there. I know. You have been led by legend to believe that it was such a terrible place. But now you'll remember that there were shops, more than one drugstore, a hairdresser, physicians on staff, a library in the building, a play place instead of a place for punishment, a prison whose chef was praised by the most discriminating palates in all Paris. It was really a set of very comfy quarters called the Bastille. Now you know the rest of the story.